Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? I want to echo what Brother Richard said this morning about yesterday. It was great and a lot of hands involved. And I'm going to digress just a moment here and make a special thank you, if you will permit me to all of those that are 50 and over. Those that are 50 and over and participated, I want us to give them a hand clap this morning of appreciation. I do that because I'm going to be 50 in 2 years, so I want to get you primed to give me a hand clap. I'm just for not, please don't, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you, Brother Zach. But I looked around Brother Wyatt, and I thought, if I feel this bad, how in the world do they feel? I look, here comes Brother Don. What else can I get for you? I'm like, you can go somewhere that I can't see you, brother. You're too full of energy. And he just going. And that makes me happy. So just imagine how happy it makes your heavenly Father that you've gone above and beyond. You know, the world wouldn't expect you to do it, but he does because he knows what he's done for you. He's never done me nothing but good. Amen. I'd like for you to turn around, welcome somebody here today, and then you can be seated. And on the heels of that, I would like to say thank you to all of our team. And I mean that sincerely, team that makes every service go well. Amen. That makes your experience from the front door when you get here to the front door when you leave good. And I'm thankful for everyone that's involved in that process and does that consistently and does it well. And I know that this time of year, some of you are suffering with allergies and sickness, and you show up and you do it well. And so everybody give yourself a hand clap this morning. Amen. And just so that I do speak to those younger than 50, we were, and several of us were sincerely enough talking about our pain so much, I kind of felt bad after I thought about all of you over 50. And so I said, well, Lord, I'll make special mention of them this morning because I know how I felt. And Brother Tom's already talked about how many pain pills he had to take last night. So the Lord, he is good. He's good. Good. People have come up with other words and they've called it awesome. And they say, he's just good. He's good. You know what? It's good to be good. In a world full of sublime and below average and mediocrity, it's good to know a God that's good all the time. He's on time all the time. He's consistent through the ages. Oh, what a friend of mine. Amen. I'm thankful. I want to say, man, I'm just going to get all kind of gushy this morning. I'm so thankful for you guys working with us, being patient with this sound. I have a tendency to sing my lungs out, much less my heart out, and they've made it where I can sing, and I don't kill myself and then not be able to preach, and I'm so thankful for that. And I still want to. Let me tell you, oh, my Lord. I'm thankful for artists who put their heart into writing songs. Not about us, but about him. I throw up my hands and praise him again. Amen. Amen. There's plenty of Christian songs out there that just talk about us. I ain't got time for all that. Let's talk about him. Amen. 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 Now, how many of you are thankful for this time of year, sincerely? Amen. Everything's getting plenty of water right now. And amen. Be thankful in everything. Because guess what? In August, you're going to be wishing it would rain. Amen. We got to be careful how we sporadically give God praise. Amen. Temps are creeping up. Just joking. They're slamming up and slamming down. And poof, poof. If you was look at a graph this morning, it'd just be this, you know. There's days, and I mean, I think I'm right when I say this in my mind anyway. I feel like there have been days that it's been a margin of 40 degrees between night and day, you know, just in one day, 40 degrees. That's a lot of change for your body if you don't know that. You know, that's a lot of shock. And because we live in air-conditioned environments and worship in an air-conditioned environment, it's even worse, believe it or not. It feels good, but but it's worse for us. So, you know, we'd all should go home and cut our AC and heat off, and then you would be better off, healthy and everything. I'm telling you the truth. I ain't lying to you, but I ain't turning mine off, so go for it. It's going to be a few pounds before he turns that AC off. Amen. Somebody say, bless him, Lord. It is what it is. This is Georgia that we live in. Amen. How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Next week we celebrate his resurrection, but something had to happen for him to rise again. In order to resurrect, he had to die. Amen. And I often have preached Easter sermons and realized I was preaching about his death and not his resurrection. But that's how important his death is. He had to die. And thankfully he did, because he was that perfect sacrifice. Amen. I'm going to be preaching this morning. My message is, it's soap. Amen. It's soap. It was going to be a little bit longer title than that, and it was going to be, it's soap, for God's sake. Because do you know that people don't use certain kinds of soap? Some people, Jesus help us, Lord. I know who said that, and I ain't looking. I'm not looking. He said somebody don't use no soap. I don't know if he's talking about his wife or one of his kids, but she said no. Gave it up, sister. You gave it up. Now I can look. But it's soap, for God's sake. Use it. I mean, why boycott a certain kind? But we all have our certain kind, don't we? If you use a particular soap, raise your hand. Amen. And just to be sure, I use liquid Ambar. So how many people say, I'm going to get you in trouble, but anyway, either way, I'm going to get you. But how many people do not use bar soap, will not use bar soap, because it's nasty, right? Well, listen to them. I'm going to get them, boy. I'm going to get them in a little bit. Because we got some bar soap up here that's going to be on auction, and you're going to be repenting, and y'all going to be highest bidders, I'm telling you, because you're going to be bidding against me. But there's people in this world, and I didn't think this through, Sister Amy. This was not a plug for your soap today. But you will appreciate it, I promise you. But I would say in the United States of America, let's bring it down into this room, okay? Because we get out of here and you can get in trouble. But I don't know that anybody in here today just wants to be nasty. Did I say that right, Sister Clay? Nobody wants to be nasty. She don't know what I'm talking about. She's talking. Some folks just like to be nasty. But there's probably no one in here this morning, if you got up and got ready to come to church, just likes being nasty. But, you know, there's also a condition that parallels this of natural and physical cleanliness, that's our spiritual cleanliness. Amen. And he had to die in order for me to be spiritually cleansed. Amen. Mankind had a problem, and that problem was specifically a sin problem. And there was, at that time, no antidote for sin. Amen. There might have been a... what's those things we take when we take when we get a cold or something? What are they called? It starts with an A, I think. Antibiotics. Thank you, Sister Izzy, for thinking. Could it be that simple? I heard it in your voice. Could it really be that simple? But he's just antibiotics. It was that simple. We take antibiotics that really, it's not curing anything. It actually might be hurting you just as much as it's helping you. So. One time I had to take a bunch of probiotics because it gave me too many antibiotics. I might have physically hurt myself for the rest of my life. That's what he told me. The doctor told me that. You may be in trouble the rest of your life. So we take these things, and they're a reprieve from what we're going through, but they don't get rid of it. And so there was no antidote. There was no permanent. It was like an antibiotic. You know, it would take it and, you know, it would push it back for a year. But you couldn't get rid of it. And so this brings me to the scripture passage that would likely be one of my top five if I were to pick them. In Romans chapter 7, if you don't mind, turn there. You don't have to stand out. I'm going to be a long read, and I'm going to try my best to read slow. And I if you think I read fast, I understand. And if you have a problem with Southern accent and all that, that's going to mess you up, because it'll be fast and Southern. So I'm going to try to go slow. Romans 7 and verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. We were sold into sin, captives, slaves to sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I got a problem. I got a sin problem. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Say no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to, but how to make it happen to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Somebody say the devil made me do it. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin. We did a lot of talk here on Tuesday night, and one of the most comfortable messages that I think I've ever preached, and I don't mean from a comfortable, I felt like that it made a lot of sense. And your mind and your flesh are two different things, and your flesh does not want to serve God. Your flesh likes AC and heat. Amen? But your mind doesn't want to always do what your flesh, and your flesh doesn't always want to do what your mind. So this morning we're going to talk about it's soap. Lord, I pray that you would open my heart and my mind to receive your word today. I need you, I want you, and I desire you in this place. Have your way and accomplish the word with where into it is sent. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Somebody say it's soap. I'm not a soapologist. Amen. So what I'm telling you this morning comes from a cursory glance at my own experience and what Google confirmed. Dangerous on both accounts. Soap is a substance with water, used with water for washing and cleaning, made of a compound of natural oils and fats. Somebody say fats. With sodium hydroxide and other strong alkali, and typically having perfume or coloring added. So what makes a bar of soap? It's essentially made by mixing a fat or an oil with an alkali substance known as lye. This triggers a molecular reaction called saponification. Everybody say saponification. I just say soapification. But that ain't right. That's not how it's supposed to be said. In bar soap making, the lye used in sodium hydroxide and in liquid soap is usually potassium hydroxide. This makes the end product more water soluble. Saponification is a process involving the hydrolysis of fats and its reaction with alkali, thereby leading to the formation of salts of fatty acids and glycerol. The salts of fatty acids are known as soap. The amount of potassium hydroxide required in the hydrolysis indicates the saponification value of the fat. So now I sound smart and you look stupid. I just sound smart. I look stupid too because I don't know what all that means, but it's soap. That's a whole lot of information that probably none of us will ever use, never use again. Needless to say, it's soap, and by its very intent, it's made to clean. Somebody say clean. Now say but. I was, as I often am, listening to people talk. It's been almost 7-8 months ago that I overheard somebody say this. It's been registered in my brain. I don't know if I'll ever get it out. I don't use bar soap. I stopped a second. Now, because I don't use bar soap, now all of those that you rose your hand this morning, you don't use bar soap because liquid soap is available. But if liquid soap wasn't available, I trust that you would use bar soap. But to say I don't use bar soap was a tall, you know, to be walking along here, somebody say it, it's like, whoa. Well, now do you use soap? And so because their claim was, and yours may be the same, and there's a lot of ignorance out there, you know, on both sides. And so I'll get to that. And I'll help you out. You'll be the first one to buy Sister Amy soap this morning because I'm going to help you with that. It harbors bacteria and other harmful substances. Blah, 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 yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And my unsolicited comment to theirs was, it's soap for heaven's sake. But as in America, we don't believe that all things are created equal. Mine's better than yours. My idea is better than yours. I honestly couldn't believe what I was hearing. Someone discussing a centuries, if not longer, old practice of using soap, bar soap. And I mentioned this to Brother Perez, and he goes, well, that's been around for thousands of years. And I said, my point exactly. But bar soap does clean. Amen? And I know I might split the room here, but it does clean. And by the way, I think there will be some at the auction this morning that you can just put your trust in, and I'm going to keep on giving you a plug, Sister Amy. Is it over here now? It's purdy. Are those my orange slices that I dehydrated, or did you do those? She ain't going to tell the truth. I gave her some. It's probably mine. It makes it more valuable if it's mine. And I like her soap. I might change your mind about who you think I am this morning, but I like her soap. Some of the elements in soap don't matter. That little orange slice, it don't matter, but it sure is pretty. The little sprinkles on the top, they don't matter, but it sure is pretty. The perfume in them, it doesn't matter, but it sure is nice. Amen? And other agents called antibacterial agents are put in soap, but the truth of the matter is they're really not doing a whole lot. So the perfume doesn't matter, the dye doesn't matter, the other things that are added to soap. Soap in itself, just the common elements of soap that I listed here earlier, is all it takes to make it soap. And it cleans. It's soap, for heaven's sake. And the addition of antibacterial chemicals, according to the not-so-vast research that I did, doesn't help to make it clean any better. It just feels good to your mind because it says antibacterial on it. Do you know where most of the bacteria you in your little circle comes from? You. You're the bacteria. You create the bacteria. So a little soap on the outside ain't going to quit the bacteria. I'm losing y'all. Help me, Lord. The saponification effect and the suds lift the bacteria from the bar and from your body. So the soap is not bacteria laden because it's soap. It's bacteria laden because of the environment that you put the soap in. I should just stop and call altar call right now because I think you're going to get my whole message right here. It doesn't matter what you do to the soap. It doesn't matter what you do to it because you're going to put it back. You're going to take that loofah. Did I say it right? That little scrunchy, what's that called? Loofah. I don't use one, by the way. Brother Daniel, I don't use no loofah. Now, I use some sissy soap, but I won't use no loofah. That's too much information. Too much. We talking shower talk here at church. That little thing you hang up every time, it's sitting there. When you walk out and you shut the door, it says, bacteria, come to me. Leave it in there a couple of days and a week and see what that thing looks like. It's going to be black with mold. Burn it to the ground. Soap's not the problem. It's that nasty wash rag that you picked up out of the corner of the tub. And come on, because you didn't want to get out to get the... Come on, help me out here. It's the side of the tub that you ain't cleaned in 2 weeks or 2 months. That it's not the soap. Because it's hope. It's soap. It's hope. It's soap. It's soap. It's hope. Paul said it perfectly. The good that I would do, I do not, but that which I would not do, I do. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in. It's the environment that we live in. And if you think that you can get the Holy Ghost and be one and done, you got another thing coming, because it's not the whole problem of the Holy Ghost or the blood or Jesus. It's the problem of the environment. And if you live outside of four walls and you have to go do anything, you are in the environment where it comes from. And so you need the soap. This world is getting darker and darker with each and every passing day. The advancement of sin, because of the environment that it's in, is propagated more and more and more because of the environment. Not because there isn't a cure-all, not because there isn't a cleaning agent. It's just because the environment is so heavy laden with the thing that the agent works against, and we aren't using enough of the agent. So the Bible even says sin gets worse and worse. But Romans 5 and 20 tells us that moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin did abound, the grace of God did much more abound. And I know that sin is all around us. I know that it's taken its toll on humanity. I understand that it's at war on the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, Christian or non-Christian, church or non-church. Let me tell you this, sin is just, it's out there. And we can take the gospel and jazz it up, and we can add all kind of things to it. We can add agents to it. We can add perfume to it. We can make it look better to appeal to us. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, it's soap that we need. It's not all the jazzed up stuff. It's not better sound that we need. Come on, it's not. It's not better musicians and singers that we need. What we need is the presence of God. It's not better preachers or better dressed or better, great orators that we need. We need the Spirit of God. I was standing at the back one time, and Brother Phil had overheard, we overheard something. He just looked at me and says, we just need more of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that he's 110% right? We don't need better pews. We don't need better air conditioning. We don't need better programs. We need more of him. I think Paul put it like this. He says, I determined not to know anything amongst you except for Jesus and him crucified. Hallelujah. Let's just simplify this thing. We don't need nothing but Jesus. But this church does that, and this church says, maybe they don't use clean wash rags. You might look at somebody and think they got it all together, but go to the house and go in the bathroom and check it out. You might change your mind about some of us. Let's lift the cover on what's covering the sin that's in our life and say, you might change your mind about how good I look with my suit and my tie on this morning. Come on, because at the end of the day, it's not a suit and a tie that I need. It's the presence of God that I need. I'm telling you, Jesus is still the answer for the world today. More of him is less of me. More of him is less of sin. More of him is less of the degrading attributes that this world brings upon our community. Amen. Him and his blood, the blood that was shed on Calvary, is still the agent of change in our world today, because the blood of bulls and goats could not cleanse us from sin. The law could not cleanse us from sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all, somebody say, all things are become new. And I know we talk about and we can list the sin. There is a list of them in the scriptures given. And he goes, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. Come on, it's a soap. The soap works. Amen. And Jesus is the answer. If you want to leave here clean this morning, all you got to do is call on his name. This morning, I want us to stand. I don't want to be too long. I don't want to get you. I'm competing with this morning, and that's fine. That's okay. We're going to do that. But I'm going to tell you something what we have here this morning that can take front and center notice and let us know that His blood still works. His blood still works. Let me tell you something. Your family might be going through it right now. His blood still works. Amen. You might be down on your luck. You might be down on your finances. But let me tell you something. It's about the blood. You might be have no hope about what's going to happen on your job tomorrow, but the blood still works. You might say, Pastor, my heart has grown distant. I'm willing to admit it. But let me tell you, cry out to Jesus because His blood still works. And this morning, this altar is open. And we need to create an environment for the soap to work. We had to come with our hands lifted up and say, Lord, I have subjected myself to some things in this world this week that I need washed away. And if we think that just because we came to church this morning that we're going to be clean, we're not going to be clean just because we came to church. We're going to be clean because we applied the soap. And let me tell you, the blood of Jesus still works, and it still covers a multitude of sin. And it's here this morning. The answer is here this morning. All we have to do is use it. The Holy Ghost works. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This morning, begin to give it to Jesus. Nothing else but Jesus. No filler, no perfume, no antibacterial agents, just Jesus. God bless you as you worship Him this morning.